To the west, the clouds had moved away from the vast profile of Giant's Castle and the sleeping face was outlined against the blue sky. The immense bulk of the sleeping giant stretched away to Cathkin and beyond and to the jagged teeth of Montana O sources where clouds swirled up from its base. Breathing in the pure atmosphere of the mountain, filled with a harmony unknown anywhere else in the world, I regained my composure and quietly sat and thought about it all. It was no good reproaching myself for failing the first time. I knew there would be another. I would be ready to meet him then. I knew it was necessary to gain still more knowledge and instruction from him through telepathy, to relax and understand the presence of his faster-than-light spaceship, and thereby to go with him. I closed my eyes and sighed deeply in complete happiness. As I did so, I could see his compelling eyes again, willing me to be aware of his presence always, controlling my thoughts and actions. A sense of fulfillment and a deep and everlasting love filled my heart for the man in the spaceship. There was no doubt in my mind that he would return and soon. The months went by, and there was no further sign of the spaceship and the man who maintained it. Over the vast and majestic mountains of the dragon, the Amazilu quietly went about their work in hushed and awed silence, waiting, waiting. Then one morning I awoke early and knew that he was coming back. I looked through the window into the depths of blue and again sensed the pull of the unknown, the deep and strong call of something beyond the skies of Earth. My heart answered the magnetic pull that touched my mind. The vibration came gently out of the mysterious sky with the south wind, with the tang of the sea wind as it rustled and rippled through the long grasses of the hills, the cool sea wind bearing the fragrance of mist, a finer entity of minute moisture cells sweeping up over the mountains. This fragrance that I had known and loved through the years now filled my being with a sudden longing to return. Hurrying into my clothes, I set out for the hilltop. It was a long walk from the farm homestead, and the fresh mountain breeze flapped the damp pleats of my kilt against my knees. I felt cold as the summit of Flying Saucer Hill loomed higher and the going became more arduous. I climbed the steep incline to the top where I saw the silver spaceship resting on the ground in the bowl at the top of the hill. Beside it stood a tall man. I looked at him with awe, and I could feel my beating heart. In that wonderful moment I didn't hesitate, but ran down the rough slope, straight to the man beside his ship. Within seconds I was at his side. Laughing gaily, he caught me round the waist and swung me up onto the hull of his ship. We both laughed as though it was the most natural thing in the world. Then he spoke to me in precise English and his voice was like a caress. "Not afraid this time?" Holding me close in his arms, he smiled gently as I looked up into his kind gray eyes. "I have known your face within my heart all my life," I answered. "I am not from any place on this planet called Earth," he whispered with his lips in my hair. He carried me into the cabin of his spaceship and set me down on a soft, circular bench. Another man sat at a control panel. He looked up, and a smile of welcome lit his handsome face. I saw the door closing from between double walls. Without a sound it shut automatically. The shiny wall and door seemed to fuse, and no opening remained. I inhaled sharply. The shiny, circular walls of the cabin were sealed. Covers closed over the portals with a sudden movement, and there was no trace left of them either. There were just the smooth walls, illuminated with a soft glowing light as natural as daylight on the surface of a planet. The whole cabin was lit with this soft, reflected light. The effect of it was light without shadows, and I saw no wiring or cables. Fresh, invigorating air filled the cabin and I breathed in a higher oxygen content, immediately feeling the benefit from it. A gentle humming sound came from the ship, accompanied by a slight vibration. There was no sense of movement, but I knew we were rising slowly into the air. In that moment of wonder, I glanced at the pilot, who sat at a simple control panel composed of push buttons. The smooth simplicity of the spaceship took my breath away. The floor was covered with a beautiful rose-red type of carpeting, soft and springy yet very firm. It covered the whole of the cabin floor, encircling a bubble-like lens in the center of the cabin. The bench I was sitting on was extremely comfortable and set low to the floor. Another half-moon bench faced the lens on the other side. The lens itself was like a crystal bubble, only half of it showing above the floor, with a circlet of shining gold set in pearl around its base. The tall man sat beside me and held my hand in both of his hands. The firm warmth and reassurance of his touch caused me to relax completely, and I leaned back against the soft bench. "My name is Akin," he said. "I am a scientist, and my research takes me to many planets beyond our home system. Charon, who greeted you as we came in, is my pilot, and he is also a scientist. Our home system is beyond, far beyond this small star with its family of planets. We come from a double star system." With wonder, I looked into his eyes, those fantastic, compelling eyes. He smiled at me in his gentle way, and then his whole face lit up for a fleeting moment. I was fascinated by his strong and fine appearance, tall and strikingly handsome with a force of character unknown to me. His ascetic face was grave but tender, and his golden hair shone white at the temples as he moved his head to glance at the viewing lens. It was a most striking face, with aquiline features, high cheekbones and light gray eyes slanting up to the temples. His forehead was high and his skin golden and fair, with no vestige of suntan. There were humor lines around his eyes and deep lines down his cheeks. He was an older man, well past middle age, with a strong and lithe body just under 2 meters in height. His hair was straight and long, behind his ears and to the nape of the neck, and he wore a plain, close-fitting garment that shimmered with a silvery sheen. It was all one piece, light and comfortable like a shiny nylon, and very soft. The trousers narrowed down to the ankles and covered his feet like a soft glove on which he walked. Long sleeves closed tightly around his wrists, and a high round neckline fitted him like a polo neck sweater. Only his hands, face and head were exposed, and I noticed gloves and a head covering of the same shiny material lying on the other bench. The head covering looked tight-fitting and had slits for the eyes slanting upward and slits for the mouth and nose. Longing to cast off the formality of my English upbringing, I tried hard to stifle my natural reserve. Here was a man immune to any artificial or feigned approach to human relationships. He instantly answered my thoughts. "I would not have you otherwise. I love you as you are. You are now one of us." A deep emotion and great happiness spread its warmth through my mind and body. The wondrous reality was almost too much for me, and I could not find words adequate to express the fullness of love within my heart for this man from another planet. "I know what is best for you and will always look after you, my beloved. My beloved," he whispered. "There is no need for you to say anything. I know everything. I have observed you before. It is a knowledge and understanding that we share, and you now belong to me. It was only necessary for me to wait until you had grown up in this knowledge and understanding. To be one of us, you must think as we do. I observed you first when you were a child, with your sister in the garden of your home in the valley adjoining the hill. At other times, I have watched you growing up, flying through the skies of Earth looking for me, and I watched while the lightning high in the sky wrapped you with its purifying flame to make you mine. It has been a lifetime for me," I whispered back. "Your delicate face is still filled with wonder and awe," he answered. Gathering me into his arms, he kissed me on the lips. A magical, electric current seemed to fuse us together in an eternity of ecstasy. In that moment, I knew that the art of love was of the mind and soul, not only of the body. Smiling at my thoughts, he put his hand gently under my chin, tilting my head back and looking deep into my eyes. "We rarely mate with Earth women," he said. "When we do, we keep the offspring to strengthen our race and infuse new blood." Trembling with excitement, my sensitive being responded to the beauty of his love. My soul was enraptured by his nearness and spellbound by his eyes, his gentle but compelling eyes. The viewing lens suddenly flashed on, and the magic spell was broken. Akin's golden hair shone white at the temples as he moved his head to glance again at the lens, a smile creasing still more the deep lines down his cheeks. Bending forward, he pressed a button set in the circlet of gold about the base of the lens. The shiny walls and ceiling of the spaceship changed to sapphire blue like the skies of my dreams, and I got the impression of being out of the spaceship and looking at a panorama in all directions. The wonderful panorama unfolded all around and in every direction, all around the horizon of Earth and beyond, into the far distances of the sky. My hand tightened around Akin's, and he took my other hand and drew me closer. I saw the Drakensberg Range to the west and the line of blue sea to the southeast. My eyes wide with wonder, I watched surface features flatten and merge into a uniform color scheme of browns, greens and bluish haze. Away to the north, clouds covered the surface, the tops shining white in the sunlight with dark shadows beneath. The empty, sky-swept country spread out the real magic carpet of Earth herself, her magic revealed beyond ancient Ken. Her roundness became apparent, her mysteries uncovered to the all-seeing eye from the far reaches of the sky. The seas appeared as a wide expanse of darkness against the lighter land masses, which became curved against the darkness of the sky. A brilliant blue band hugged the earth along the horizon like the deep blue wavelength of the primary rainbow. From the outermost skirts of the sky a hazy, faint reflection from the envelope of air that wraps the planet in onion-like layers etched the shores of Africa against the sea, except where clouds shone white. Earth showed her veiled face to us, floating in space, her delicate blueness lightly shrouded in white clouds swirling in wind patterns. She rotated smoothly, her rounded sides moving over. The polar caps glistened white, the southern polar region large and pronounced and the northern cap smaller but with a beauty of shifting pulsating colors like a banner reaching into space. Her bulging waistline rotated about her flattened poles like a fat apple with a heavy base. The enormous power and energy of her being filled the whole viewing lens, her night side moving over into the sun side in a slow smooth rotation. A lovely shifting display of colors in the ionosphere emanated from the auroral zones. It formed a rainbow effect over the magnetic polar regions, giving the Earth delicate veiled banners that reached out into space. These mingled with remnants of her atmosphere, which were left behind in the velocity of her orbit around the sun to form a tenuous tail, tapered to a leeward point by the solar wind. We moved away into a blue darkness like the shadow of the Earth that catches up at the end of day. The walls and ceiling of the spaceship changed color, and the many-hued stars shone with a brilliance of light. I felt an overwhelming sense of remoteness as I watched the distant sphere of Earth, a blue and white globe, a home of life, an island moving in the vast void of heaven. Would I be allowed to return to my family there on that distant planet? My children there were still young, and my mind became troubled. There is no need to be nervous, Akin reassured me as he held me closer. We are proceeding to our mothership, where you will be our guest for a short period before we escort you back to the hill on which we found you. I know what is best for you and will always look after you, my beloved. I had known the truth of it in my heart long before hearing it from his own lips, when in years gone by I had gazed into the depths of blue with a longing I could not then define. Now I knew the reason for my longing and why my whole being had always been aware of someone, of an affinity of souls and a love to be fulfilled with wondrous anticipation and awe. I knew now that, through the years, he had prepared my mind for this eternal love, this love of a man and a woman. The key to all life and the universe lies in the harmonic interaction of light. At that distance from Earth, my mind became aware of a new dimension. Humans there with all their petty quarrels, cruelty and vicious occupancy of all their bits of territory ceased to exist. Gone were the insular and selfish ways of human beings on Earth, their fecundity destroying the beauty of their planet like parasites swarming over her surface. The mother planet harbored life on her surface and within her surface. She protected it against the radiations of space and provided it with abundance, yet she shielded a viper within her bosom. Universepeople.com. My mind was full of questions, but checking the impulse, I looked around the circular cabin, noticing the simplicity and beauty of design, the comfort and sense of security. There was a simple row of push buttons on a panel for flight control and robot control, as well as television far in advance of anything we know, telescopes and searchlights of immense power and range, remote controlled scanning discs and television eyes. A map of our galaxy, the Milky Way, filled the domed ceiling. We saw its polar view, rotating slowly in its distant velocity of majestic movement. Its seven closely wound, dust-streaked spiral arms glowed blue with the light of young, massive stars. Millions of stars gleamed around the Hubble nucleus, lighting up the clouds of hydrogen gas with the divine colors of the spectrum and the overcast of rose-red halo stars. A flashing light pinpointed our position in the sun's system, far out on a limb. I gasped in wonder as I looked up at this stupendous, lens-shaped galaxy of ours, a supersystem riding like a glowing wheel in the remote void where before the domed ceiling had appeared as a sky of sapphire blue. A misty shape began to emerge in the great bubble lens and I saw the mothership suspended like a planet in the velvet void. The radiations from the sun cast a sheet of white light on her enormous side, while her shadow side glowed with an ashen light like a planet taking her environment with her. Her radiant energy propulsion glowed around her in the visible wavelengths of blue and violet. Again my mind filled with questions and this time I could not contain them. Have you been out into intergalactic space? We will need to perfect our spaceships still more for a voyage of that nature, Akin said. We are now preparing for it, enlarging our scientific survey ships like this one. As you have noticed, this ship is shaped like a galaxy, and once we have perfected the larger spaceships, which vary in diameter, we will be able to move through intergalactic space. Our intergalactic ship is exactly twice the diameter of this one, or twice the harmonic, and we are creating still larger spaceships for interstellar and intergalactic vibratory changes in the unified field. Circular ships of this type are a duplication of nature. They take their environment with them like a natural celestial object. How are these spaceships created? I asked. They are not just constructed in a building yard, then? No, not on the surface of a planet. Our spaceships are created by converting pure energy into physical substance, and we do this in space. The material of the spaceship's outer skin is completely smooth. Without rivets, the material is created in one piece in a continuously circular smooth shape. The radius of the curvature transforms the total mass of the spaceship's outer skin into a combination of matter and antimatter, as the atomic creation of the outer skin is conducive to energizing in alternate pulses. This is achieved when the entire system is switched on, by pressing that red button on the panel. A unified field of light instantly encircles the spaceship, an electrogravitic field that acts on all parts simultaneously, including the atoms of one's body. These field differentials interact to create a vacuum that encircles the spaceship, and it shifts without the restriction of speed and without sound in the atmosphere of a planet. The light emanating from the ship is subject to varying time and gravitic waves, either shortened or lengthened. All radiations and molecules are pushed aside in varying speeds and quantities to emit light, and the difference in speeds is perceived by the eye as colors. These microatoms of light form an electrostatic shield around this interstellar survey ship, this ship of light. A light thrust of three beams controls and directs its maneuverability in harmonic interaction. The whole is a combination of cosmic forces: electric, magnetic, tempic and resonating. It is the harmonic interaction of the four forces of the universe, the unified field. Like a natural celestial object, this ship protects her crew as a planet would, taking its environment with it through the fathomless reaches of space. The tempic field, or time field, is the controlling field. It maneuvers the spaceship from one time field to another within the vibration of a higher frequency that emanates from the total mass of the ship's triple skin. As the field intensifies, the spaceship becomes invisible to any watcher on the surface of Earth. It disappears completely or suddenly appears again, It can vanish on the spot when landed, or it can materialize again. On Earth, the first indication of this would be a heat wave effect during daylight in the atmosphere. At other times, depending on atmospheric conditions, the molecules of atmosphere surrounding the area of proximity to the spaceship condense into a cloud as it comes into the condensation level of the atmosphere. This can occur while it is hovering or moving in the sky, whether the ship is visible through the cloud or in its invisible state. All you can see, usually, is an inorganic cloud that sometimes builds and bubbles up into a vast organic cumulonimbus, spreading storm destruction far and wide or simply decaying away slowly in the higher atmosphere. Akon thought for a few moments and continued. The minimum temperature around the spaceship allows her complete mobility and velocity without limits of stress, strain, heating or restrictive influence of atmospheric pressure. This gives us feather-like landings, in a state of weightlessness, on any surface of the planet. The heat blast that is felt in the proximity of the spaceship is caused by the sudden air displacement. Microatoms of light are stopped, and are thereby equal to heat. These microatoms are pushed aside by the field differentials surrounding the spaceship, which spins faster than the speed of sound, accounting for the lack of noise. This shield prevents all fauna from approaching too close to the spaceship and prevents aircraft from moving into the fringes of the vortex where they would be affected by this area of reduced binding and simply fall apart in the air. That has happened at times in the past. We worked out the design of this spaceship in mathematical synchronization. It steps up the frequency interaction of light within the unified field, which permeates all of existence, making it possible for a shift in space-time to occur. The road to the stars unfolds within a spaceship of beauty and simplicity. It generates its light from the cosmic plasma of eternity, never faltering. It is always alive and pulsating, shaped like a galaxy with a halo surrounding it and the shockwave glowing. All of creation is light, which is the key to the universe. The whole of existence throughout the planetary systems, the stars and the depths of interstellar space is made up of visible and invisible waves of light. To the seen and unseen, to all energy, substance, liquids, gases and all life, the release of microatoms of light from oxygen is the source of all life. The electromagnetic waveform, or light, forms the building blocks of the cosmos in which we have our being, as microatoms of light in greater unities are equal to atoms. Mental forces, spiritual strength, soul attainment and thoughts are all made up of microatoms of different speeds in the wavelength of light. Electricity is comprised of microatoms of light, and while sound and color occur when the microatoms have different speeds. When microatoms are stopped, they create heat. Light is an intelligent energy that can be thought into existence and substance. The pattern of the microatoms of light alters with changing thoughts when one achieves the formula for the harmonic vibration of light. The key to all life and the universe lies in the harmonic interaction of light. A mathematical formula for all transportation lies in the vibratory frequencies of the light harmonic, with anti-gravity waves and time waves, which are simply the frequency rate between each pulse of the spiral of light. By controlling this frequency rate, the flow of time can be varied, and one simply moves within one's environment, within the protection of the spaceship, instantaneously from one planet to another, or one solar system to another. Time, as a geometric, is controlled or eliminated. And the speed of light, is that also a geometric? I asked. We speak of the measure of light, not of the speed of light. Light gives the illusion of velocity, when in reality it is a pulse resonating in the frequencies of time and gravity. Thereby, our galaxy is created to the universal geometric harmonics of light. Light is a universal geometric. Time and gravity, or a reversal in the flow of time and anti-gravity, can be achieved by altering the energy of light pulsing through space, through the atmosphere of planets, and throughout all creation. As microatoms of light form the atoms of all gases, liquids and solids. As I mentioned before, the unified differentials of light interact to create a vacuum encircling the spaceship, and it moves without sound or the restriction of speed as the molecules of atmosphere are pushed aside instead of piling up in flight. In space, the unified field of light creates a shift in space and time. No velocity is involved, there is only a shift in frequency as the spaceship vibrates in harmonic resonance to interact with the wave energy of light pulsing throughout the galaxy. It simply uses the fabric of space itself, which is light, vibrating in waveform frequencies in alternate pulses of matter and antimatter. Thereby we overcome the problems of space travel beyond the light barrier. Earth scientists still have the restriction of the sound barrier in atmospheric flight. Perhaps they will discover that there is no restriction that causes the sonic boom if they can perfect an aircraft that pushes aside the molecules of air instead of allowing the molecules to pile up against the craft. Like the tunnel or ionized path that lightning creates and uses as a channel through the air from ground to cloud? I asked. I was so very interested I could not miss one word of Akin's information. My beloved, he answered with a smile, it can be a duplication of nature. If we can find all the answers to atmospheric and space travel within the simplicity of nature, so could humankind of Earth find these answers, provided they cooperate with nature instead of attempting to destroy her. The key to all this lies in harmonic interaction with all things and nature throughout our galaxy, and it is for humankind to achieve all this first. We simply disappear with our spaceship out of this planet's time field and appear in the time field geometric of our home planet, within a neighboring solar system. You, my beloved, will simply come with us in a future time cycle. Is this why I could sense the spaceship moving slowly from Earth? I asked. Because it is necessary for me first to adapt to a slow, smooth change from one time dimension to another. It is not necessary, because you move within the atmosphere of the spaceship, Akin explained. You are protected within your own environment. But we did not wish to frighten you, beloved. In future times you will feel the spaceship suddenly vibrate, a vibration from outside the sealed cabins. Something apart from the ship itself. This happens when it moves in instantaneous anti-light harmonics, stepping up the frequency interaction of light speed of light when a shift in space-time occurs. I retained your mind though, on moving with the spaceship into this time dimension, which has enabled you to shift in complete harmony. Otherwise it would not have been possible for you to become a part of the shift in space-time beyond the light barrier, owing to the very high frequency vibration of light. We double the harmonic of light to obtain anti-gravitational and anti-light fields, the unified field equation that is the key to space travel or movement in space-time. I smiled in reply. No wonder it has been almost a lifetime before you contacted me physically, I said. I was suddenly thankful and very humble for my years of training and self-discipline, instilled since childhood, which now enabled me to understand completely within my mind the intricate secrets of light, and how the spaceship created this cosmic energy to use itself as a source of infinite power. Indeed, my beloved, misunderstanding leads to disharmony in thought forces, and I could not have taken you with me from Earth, Akin said, replying to my thoughts. Harmony is the key to manipulating this cosmic energy, the source of all existence and matter and thoughts. In their search for truth, humans of planet Earth will find that reality conforms to a mental conception. Thus, the idea of using light or gravity as a means of propulsion for spaceships not only becomes conceivable but also perceptible through mental processes. Yet the true nature of reality remains quite beyond their comprehension, except in brief moments of transfiguration when the soul transmits the reality or truth to the mind. Evidence for the immortality of the soul is found in this way, independent of reason, where we find the magic lease we sense as life all made out of stardust, and the harmonic interaction of love. People on Earth use cosmic energy, or light, for destructive purposes. There is always a reason for things happening in the way they do, I thought. One cannot expect everything to be handed over on a plate if one has not the requisites of knowledge, understanding, harmony, love and discipline without fear. Akan's advanced civilization cannot, at any time, become embroiled in the ruthless politics of Earth's nations. Their entire civilization and the energy source in the harmonic frequency of light depends entirely on universal harmony. Otherwise, all they have attained could fall away in explosive violence and destruction.